Just as it takes time for our physical arteries to harden, so it takes time for our spiritual and emotional heart to harden as well. And if we leave the causes and the symptoms unchecked, hey, there's one thing for certain, harden it will. And yet Jesus has one surefire cure for even the hardest of hearts. Hi, I'm Bertie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we continue with the next message in this series called There's a Knock at the Door, as we discover together Jesus' cure for a hard heart. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about Christianity Works' free daily devotional. It's called Fresh, and it's all about helping you draw closer to Him so that you can become all that He made you to be. Hey, it's great to be with you again today at the beginning of a new week. I was really blessed to have a good break over the weekend. I love what I do. I really love being able to spend these few minutes with you each day. But you know something? I like a rest too. I like that break over the weekend. You work hard all week, at least I do. Generally, they're very long hours. And although when you love doing what you do, it doesn't feel like work, come the end of the week, I'm pretty much ready for a bit of a rest. And one of the highlights of my week is waking up on Saturday morning and planning a date with my beautiful wife. Now that our kids are grown up, we're able to just go out on a little date Saturday mornings to a coffee shop. Mostly it's just toast and coffee. But it's something we do for us. We chat, read the paper, just spend time together. I'd have to say it's one of the most special times of the week for me. But before you get the idea we're a perfect couple with a perfect marriage, let me tell you, I am not a perfect husband. And as much as I'd like to be, and sometimes Jackie isn't the perfect wife. I can be such an insensitive clod sometimes, and that kind of bruises Jackie's feelings. And yet, even though we're two imperfect people, sure, trying to honour God, sure, doing our best to love each other, despite our imperfections, we love each other and our relationship is intact, and hopefully it grows deeper and deeper with the passing years. So how is that? How is it that two imperfect people can grow in their relationship? Well, here's what I've tried to do in our marriage. Whenever I get it wrong, whenever I'm insensitive or I make a mistake or I don't take Jackie's feelings into account, whatever it is, that kind of cuts me to the quick. When I realise I've done wrong, and hopefully I'm making fewer mistakes today than, say, I was 5 years ago, but when I realise I've made a mistake, I say sorry and I try to mend my ways. Now, saying sorry isn't something that comes naturally to me, and learning to say sorry has been one of the hardest things for me to do in life. Because sorry is about humbling ourselves. Sorry is about admitting we've made a mistake. Sorry is taking the first step in mending the relationship. And yet, as we live our lives together, Jackie and I, best as we can, making mistakes, saying sorry, pulling each other closer, the relationship grows. If, on the other hand, we just made mistakes and never said sorry and never apologised and never had a softening of the heart and a changing of the mind and a change in behaviour, the relationship would pull further and further and further apart. And you know something? That's exactly how divorces happen. Because hearts grow lukewarm first, and eventually they turn cold. Now, it takes time, but before you know it, there's no love there anymore. There's no relationship there anymore. Now, the reason I've shared that with you today is that it's a powerful metaphor, if you will, or a parallel in understanding the relationship between us and God. Last week on the program, we spent some time understanding this concept of Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. He loves us more than a man or a woman can ever love any other. He loves us with a powerful, tender, sacrificial love. And yet, you and I, whilst once we may have been on fire for Jesus, have this ability to grow lukewarm in our relationship with Him. Let's just take another look at what He has to say about that. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. He says, "Look, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I don't need anything. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe yourself and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." As I said, we've spent quite a bit of time over this past week taking a look at what Jesus is saying to us through all that. But the bit I'd like to unpack this week on the program is the bit about repentance. Because to tell you the truth, when I first became a Christian, almost 20 years ago now, I remember those Christians all talking about repentance and repenting. And can I be perfectly honest with you here? I thought to myself, what? It sounds like a word from, I don't know, the 1950s, this kind of religious, moralizing kind of word, this old-fashioned concept being spouted by an out-of-date, irrelevant church. Repentance? Oh, give me a break. Not sure how you react to the word, but to me, every time I still hear it today, I still get that feeling of a religious word. And yet its meaning is anything but that. Can I go back to what I shared with you about Jackie and myself earlier? In our relationship, in our imperfection, the only way we keep our marriage together, the only way we grow in our love for one another, the only way we get to look forward to our special date on Saturday morning and being together, is constantly to repent, to admit that we're wrong, to admit that we've failed, to apologize to one another, to mend our ways. And right there is exactly what repentance is. And so when Jesus is calling those of us whose hearts have grown lukewarm towards him, those of us who've become, I don't know, distracted with all the trinkets and baubles this world dangles before us, what is it that he says? What is it that he calls you and me to do? He says to us, he's saying to us right here and right now, "Be earnest, therefore, and repent." Literal meaning of this original Greek word, repent? Well, here it is, word for word from my Greek lexicon. To change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with the abhorrence of one's past sins. In other words, to get a grip, to realize that what we've been doing, how we've been living our life, is wrong, and to have the guts to admit it to ourselves, and having that change of heart to change what we're doing. Isn't that exactly what I just described in our marriage relationship before? Isn't that what keeps a marriage together? Absolutely it is. So repenting isn't some old-fashioned religious word. In fact, let me say this. It's the single most important thing in maintaining a healthy relationship and growing strong in that relationship. And the thing I love, or one of the things I love most about this Jesus, is that he doesn't want us to be religious with him. He doesn't want us to go through the motions with him. Jesus wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to fellowship with him. He wants to come in and sit down and have a meal and have a chat and be with us. And so the key to unlocking that door from the inside, where he stands out there knocking, is quite simple. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. And so the key to unlocking the door from the inside is you and me having an earnest change of heart. The key to this relationship is taking that knock at the door seriously, being earnest, because Jesus is standing there knocking, wanting to be close to us, being earnest and having a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of ways. He stands, he knocks. We love sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with God. So before I go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional to help you be all that God made you to be. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. And the best news is that it's completely free and delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day. To receive your free devotional, just jump onto the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there for you. As a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head across to the website and sign up to receive Fresh. I pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. That web address again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.